This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. That was a little bit of Ariana Grande. And today I am joined by the amazing, it's Andrea DiGiovanni. How are you doing?
Hi, everybody. I'm doing really good. You?
I'm really, really good. I'm loving your outfit today. It's very
dramatic.
That's
me.
That is the word for it. For our lovely listeners who are listening in and maybe don't know you, don't know what you do, tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, you're a musician, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a singer-songwriter, but I also do perform with my band or acoustically. I'm 23 years old and I'm originally from Rome, Italy, and I moved here in London 5 years ago. And I went to study at the ABIM London, which is a great college.
Yeah.
And after that, I started releasing my music. And ever since that, it's been a nonstop journey, really.
That's amazing. You absolutely, you've practiced that elevator pitch, haven't you? Like you nailed that.
I don't know. It's like, obviously you've done it for a while, and after you listen back, sometimes you're like, ooh, I really shouldn't have said that. I was like, yeah. I tend to talk a lot. That's my tea.
Like, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
It really is sometimes, because it's like you're saying a lot of things and nothing.
Yeah,
basically,
sure.
So.
So let's talk a little bit about your music. So how did you kind of fall into the music industry? Because I know that, I mean, you've got some really big stuff coming up, and you were involved in Pride's Got Talent before, and you're going to be performing at Pride this year, which is London Pride, which is a pretty huge deal. So kind of how did you fall into that? And then how did you kind of connect that to kind of like the LGBT culture?
So basically, I started when I was a kid just doing piano lessons, and then I grew up until 8, and I started to do singing lessons, but it was more like of a hobby, and my mom was really like strict, was like, no, you don't do any no TV shows for you up until you get your diploma, okay? And I'm like, okay.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, I do thank her though now, because I think, like, I at least I have a diploma. I have a degree now as well, but at the time I had a diploma. But after that, I did a TV show experience back in Italy. It's nothing like The Voice or X Factor, it's something in between.
But like a talent competition.
Yeah. So it's all singing, like there is all the TV drama, and it's like people talking shit on your back, and you have to go like, ah, why you said that to me? Like all of that. And it was great, and it made me realize, oh, do you know what? Actually, I have what it takes to do this.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I was like, I just want more from this. Italy wasn't really, I don't know, I wasn't getting those right vibes. And since I came here, I was like, yes, it's like I'm breathing. I'm like, I'm being myself. And, you know, through coaching, through meeting people, I decided also to go into this LGBT sort of like message that I have. It's because I'm talking about my journey most of all. When I came here, I thought, oh, okay, I moved to the UK. I'm going to be all good. And then it was like, nope. That wasn't going to happen, really. So it matured after a while. Actually, in my last relationship with a girl, it was I can't take it no more. I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I know what I want, so stop this right now and just focus on being you.
Sure.
It was hard, but, like, look at me right now. I mean, you can read it up on my face. And I couldn't feel better about myself, which is the message I really want to spread with my music as well. It's like, there is always a hope, and there is always somebody you could talk to out there, because I didn't really have that, or I couldn't find that in, you know, in Rome or in Italy. So I had to move here to kind of find those people.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit more, because I think it's really interesting in two ways. Because of yourself as a singer-songwriter, I think sometimes, you know, being from an Italian background, it can kind of limit your opportunities. I think that the music industry can be very kind of American, English focused, and that's right. Not really fair. So you kind of having to kind of break away from your home roots to kind of pursue your career. But also, do you find that you found more of an accepting LGBT plus community coming over here than there was in Italy?
I got to be honest with you, because I don't want to, you know, throw random mud on LGBT community when I don't. I actually don't really know. I actually never really connected, because back then I didn't feel comfortable enough to, you know, to go out and just be like, yeah, this is me, like I'm gay and everything. I would still call myself bisexual. I think in my head it was all happening here. I'm just like, oh, but, you know, if I call myself bisexual, society will accept me.
Sure.
So it's all good, because you get all those straight friends coming like, oh, you go to sleep with everybody. It's so cool, man. And I'm like, geez. But, you know, thinking back now, I'm like, oh, God. But definitely, yes, coming here and also meeting with the Pride family, you had a guest. One of them is Tom Knight.
Like, yes. Yeah, lovely Tom.
Mine. And then there is Ian Master-Harris as well. These two guys really kind of, like, nurtured me, sometimes giving me, you know, some tough love, you know, opening doors straight away. But they also always rooted for me. And knowing that there was somebody at least out there for me made me feel so much more great and comfortable also to go out and do it. Just be like, yeah, you know, fuck it. Yeah, I'll just be me.
And was it kind of Pride's Got Talent that first kind of gave you that foothold into the music scene over here? Or were you doing other things as well?
I was doing like things before. I did before with my band as well. It's just I didn't have specifically that message. I suppose you could read that all over my face. Like all of my friends were like, oh, no way, you're gay, what? Like we all know.
Sure.
And it's like, I didn't. So like as long as I know now, it's better. But no, I started, you know, doing gigs before. But now, really, like I would say, like in the past year and a half, is that also when I tried to step a foot, like as an activist, also within our community, to kind of be a voice, to, you know, to be that. Because in Italy, we don't really much have that.
Yeah. Do you find there's a big, almost like a lack of representation of kind of LGBT plus talent out there in Italy?
Yes. Yes, it's always, because obviously we come from a Catholic background. You can't erase that. It's within. I had all the sacraments, so like if I could get married in church, I could. It's funny, but yeah. But it's very rooted in the culture. So mm-hmm. even with my mom, like right now, we just agree to disagree. Like she's a Catholic woman, and she has her views, and I have mine. So I just, you know, don't go into argument mode. But you know, going back to the question, yeah, no, there is few people, but I feel it could be way much more. So that's why I would love to be that kind of like Italian, but also breaking through this industry is kind of like, yes, I'm here, and when I have my platform, finally kind of like doing some of the work.
Yeah, it makes a tremendous statement. I know I spent some time living in Italy myself, and obviously my experience is going to be very different to yours growing up there and having lived there. But my kind of, I found the LGBT plus scene there incredible. The scene in Rome, amazing drag queens. I went and saw this incredible drag performance. There was literally like 15 drag queens on stage or like just wonderful, diverse culture. But then you kind of step out of that gay scene and it was almost as if like LGBT plus people didn't exist. It wasn't that there was like rife homophobia or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just found it was almost as if the entire culture and society almost acted like LGBT plus people did not exist. And I found that to be very strange because it is almost like a homophobia, but it is rooted, like you say, it is kind of rooted in this religious background. Yep. And that I met some lovely, lovely, wonderful people who would say to my face, I don't agree with the fact that you're gay, but they were the nicest people I had ever met otherwise. And it's really difficult to kind of pair those things together because I think we think of homophobia and we think of people being violent and people shouting slurs, but it's not always that way. And I think Italy sometimes can be an example of that. So I think everything you're doing and just, you know, putting yourself out there and being authentically you is incredible. And
thank you.
I congratulate
thank you.
You
thank
on
you
that.
So much.
I think we should listen to a little bit of your music. I'm really excited about this because I actually haven't heard this song yet.
Okay.
I'm really excited about this. This is Our Own Way by the lovely Andrea De Giovanni.
I'm so tired of being blue. Oh, I'm so tired of being abused. Of running in circles to find a way to heal the shame. Cause I don't want it anymore. Oh, I won't take you any further. Journey comes to the end of the end. Chasing outcomes, so scared of the drama. Always being the drama. Oh, I don't want it anymore. The darkness flies away. I will be looking for a brighter day. There's nothing left to say. We gotta go. Your struggles, working so hard, staying true to who you are. Don't be scared of the stars. Oh, I won't stop me anymore. The darkness flies away. I will be looking for a brighter day. There's nothing left to say. We gotta go. Left.
already a massive fan of your music.
Oh, thank you.
What I'm going to be listening to on repeat on the way home. How do you think, I'm really interested in kind of like LGBT plus artists out there. And I just think sometimes getting your name out there as an LGBT plus artist can be really difficult. And I think a lot of the, you know, big names that we already know, I think a lot of them kind of established themselves and then came out. Do you think, do you find it to be kind of a barrier to almost your success? Because I know we hear a lot about, you know, supposed people in the industry who may be LGBT, but we're not sure, and that there's potentially pressures and people telling them not to come out because it could damage their career. Like, what's your take on that, being so out and proud yourself?
Personally, obviously, you don't want to be like a massive, you know, judge too much. I understand that sometimes in certain situations there is labels, there is like bigger companies, there is budgeting being put behind. So some people think that it's better to establish yourself and then come out. I personally don't agree with it. It's mm-hmm. like it's terrible. It's kind of like it's at most saying like, yeah, we love you guys and everything, yeah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, but when it's about playing my song, you don't play it though.
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah.
No. So that's the kind of, my point is, we should be really open, like, since the beginning. Like, what's the problem in being like super feminine in my looks, or being like very artsy and all of this? And I don't want to go out there with, like, I don't know, like a smoking on everything, or like a nice dress, like an obvious thing. It's not me. I'm way much more bubbly, so I wouldn't be represented by that. But at the same time, I respect, like, I think it's personal and always should be personal choice. If you want to come out, come out. If you don't want to, don't. Whatever the reasoning is, even if it's as shallow as my success, I get it, but personally I'm not a fan of it.
Sure. And I do agree that it's everybody's individual choice, and we shouldn't judge people if they do decide to stay in the closet for whatever reason that is. I do think there's a bit of a, almost like a change in the tides though, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have so many kind of LGBT artists at the minute, like really current.
Yeah.
So we have like Kenan Lonsdale, Ollie Alexander, Troy Sivan, Emenike, and we have, and not only are they queer artists, but they're also, their songs are about queer things a lot of the time. And I find that, I think that's something, I know that we had George Michael back in the day, and he was singing about, you know, having sex outside and all of these things that tend to kind of be related to kind of having a gay identity. But I think other than that, it's been really, really rare. But suddenly it's becoming more and more common. And maybe it's because we're in our own little kind of bubble. But I'm only seeing praise for it. I'm not really seeing that much criticism for it. So, yeah, well, like, what's your take on that? Would you kind of put a lot of your sexuality into your music, do you think? Or do you kind of keep them separate?
I understand it's like, with branding and marketing, it's
difficult.
So tough.
Yeah.
Because you want to be true to yourself, but then you can be too true to yourself. Like, you need to find always the balance in between. And I understand that, like, I did one song, which is called Got to Blame. And when I did the whole video and everything, my point was to be extra. I wanted to put my sexuality there because it was my statement. But I almost feel like the more broad you are with your message, because, like, obviously I'm talking mainly to, you know, LGBT community, gay kids, feminine gay kids. Obviously, that's my main thing. But at the same time, I feel like emotions are very general, like there mm-hmm. isn't just a category, and then my music is led by emotions, like
sure.
it's stuff that happens to me, I get really upset about it, and my way to get over it is just writing a song about it. So I always like to think that, yes, obviously I'm proud of my flag and I will carry it with, you know, forever, but at the same time I also want to speak to the other side of the world, kind of be like, you need to start to accept this as well and not put me in a box of, oh, you're an LGBT artist. No, I'm an artist that happens to support LGBT community.
Totally.
And like other artists, I mean, you see some other artists supporting Labour or Conservative Party. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, they have your own choices at the end of the day, but they're artists.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's very important.
Do you think then that some people come under, I guess, unfair criticism sometimes, like Sam Smith, for instance? I think in his music he's always kind of kept the songs very neutral. He's kept his pronouns very neutral, so anyone who doesn't know him or know who he is, even you could have some really quite homophobic person would put on one of his songs and not know that he's singing about men, because he keeps it all very neutral. Yeah. And I think he's been really, really heavily criticized for that, but I think that's kind of unfair. Like, I think, you know, it is amazing if somebody puts themselves out there and goes, no, you know what, I'm going to sing about loving a man and I'm going to make that really explicit in my song. That's incredible and good for anyone who does that. But I think if somebody just chooses to kind of sing from the heart and sing the emotions and not necessarily put a label on that, I think that's absolutely fine as well. And I think criticizing that sometimes is a little bit unfair.
Yeah, I do get what you mean. And I do see the criticism on the other hand.
Yes,
though,
yeah,
because
yeah.
Obviously it kind of felt like, even for me, because obviously I'm experiencing it right now. I'm experiencing what are the difficulties. I could be going out in a perfect sort of like X Factor typey kind of like boy band sort of guy. And I know that for the right now would bring me maybe more 15-year-old girls going all crazy about like, and playing on my sexuality that I, you know, I'm, what am I? Like, I'm bi, I'm whatever. Do you know what I mean? I could do that road. But I'd rather choose to be who I am.
Yes.
And in his case, it really kind of felt like it just up until that sort of like Grammy speech. It's like, oh yeah, I got me trophies. So like, like trophies are in the garage, so now I'm like, can say that. And maybe just that I didn't particularly like, because it kind of felt like, oh, I needed to win the award before. And it kind of makes it feel like, oh, you can get that award only if you are that kind of way. Otherwise, if you're too gay or too that, you will never get an award. I don't know, the kind of message that could come out of it.
So it sends a bad message, even though that probably wasn't his intention. That's probably not why he did it that way. It kind of puts out the wrong idea.
It could be perceived that way, because obviously I'm an artist doing it right now, and I encounter every day all those difficulties, and I just pick myself up. I'm like, I don't care. It's not today. It might be tomorrow. Like, I know that, you know, once you reach a certain amount, you know, of following, and you know, when you start to be interesting for those media, they will all end up talking about you, because that's the story. Like, if you look at David Bowie, one of my biggest inspirations.
Yeah.
Same thing. Nobody got him at the beginning. Everybody thought like, oh, he's too there. We still sing David Bowie today, and probably in 50 years we'll still sing David Bowie.
Oh yeah, we absolutely, absolutely will. I wanted to pick up on one of the other points you made there, and that was about this kind of the idea that if you're trying to appeal to that kind of teenage girl fan base who can be the hardcore fans, and if you're going into the world of music, you want those people because they're the ones who are going to buy your concert tickets and be there supporting you. There's always, I've heard this said so many times about the idea that if somebody's gay or bisexual, that they're going to lose that teenage girl fan base because they like to kind of, I guess, fantasize about the idea of being in a relationship with these artists. But I've just never actually seen this in practice, because I've seen these same, you know, really dedicated fans giving the same love and attention to the gay artists. And they still see them as, you know, this object of desire sometimes, and they still crush over them. So like, take, you know, who do teenage girls love these days? Like Shawn Mendes, for instance. He's a straight man.
That guy, very beautiful man.
But I feel like if Shawn Mendes, for instance, happened to come out as gay tomorrow, I don't think any of those teenage fans would suddenly go, "Oh, we don't want to support him anymore." I just don't think that's real. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know, to be fair, because obviously I actually quite never really got that far, Maze, because, you know, I've been pretty much, you know, out there. Maybe when I was in TV the first time, because I was like very sort of like clean face or this cute little guy. I was so cute, because like, I'm 19, so clueless. You can see, like, you watch back the tape and I'm so clueless that I'm kind of like, yay, I'm enjoying myself so much. But it's like, ew. Like, if I look back now, it's like, but, and I can see that. But I don't know, I guess it's, it is kind of like that, though, at the same time, I feel, because obviously if I were to, the content that I post compared to those kind of artists that I appeal to that, because I've been close to a lot of them.
Yes.
Like, I've done, you know, PR with all of them, gone to meetings, red carpets, and I see how they carry themselves. And again, it's no judgment. Obviously, you can choose to do that, but it's the kind of like same old bloke, tons of muscles, the hair cut that way, the blue eye, which is all very like, yes, you know what I mean? And it's like, I've seen probably 20 people like you. And it's like, I don't know, I always strive for, you know, people that are very brilliant and original in their own way. That doesn't mean you cannot be, but I feel a lot of being very sort of like put in a box, that they all kind of have go for that look. And literally, you go to one of these parties and they're all the same. You're like, who are you? You're like, I haven't met you before. And he's like, I don't know.
But going back to what you were saying about David Bowie, for instance, I think in the long term, those are the people that you remember. And at the end of the day, it's about people's talent. At least it should be about people's talent and not the way they present. You would hope it would be about people's talent and not the way that they present themselves.
Yeah.
It's really funny that I was mentioning all those LGBT plus artists just a moment ago, because I've actually just looked at all the music we've got lined up for this show.
I know.
And it's literally just like LGBT plus across the board, which is incredible. And this was not planned. So I guess that in itself shows that the queers are making it into the mainstream, and that's incredible. And hopefully yourself. Hopefully you're going to blow up and...
Fingers crossed.
I'm sure we're going to be playing your music on the show for months, if not years, to come.
Oh, thank you.
Later on in the show, Andrea and I are going to be reacting to your sex confessions. So if you would like to send them in, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. It is completely anonymous, so feel free to share whatever you like, and we won't give away your identity. So, tell us your naughty, naughty secrets. Should we have another queer artist, Andrea?
Oh, yes.
All right, let's have a little bit of M&EK. This is Tongue.
Swimming pool of passion, mutual attraction. We both know there is something going on. There is something going on. Didn't want to stop this verse with those three little words. Because we both know there is something going on. But I don't want to play it wrong. So I'm not going to say it. No, I don't want to say it. I don't know how you'll take it. So I'ma try not to say it. Cause when I've said it in the past, each time it didn't last. So I'ma try not to say it. But it feels like I might say it.
So I'm putting both hands over my mouth. I can only hope nothing's gonna come out. But there it is on the tip of my tongue.
I think I love you.
I think you're the one. I'm putting both hands over my mouth. I can only hope nothing's gonna come out. But there it is on the tip of my tongue.
I think I love you.
I think you're the one.
No big deal. Explaining how I feel. I don't know why and it's taking us so long. Why it's taking us so long. So much hesitation.
Absolutely love M&EK. Cannot get enough of that lovely, lovely gentleman. I want to learn a bit more about you, Andrea. So I thought we'd play a little bit of Two Truths and One Lie. Okay. So for our lovely listeners, in this game, Andrea is going to tell me three facts about himself and his life. I'm hoping some of them might be naughty facts, but I guess we'll wait and see.
One is naughty, don't worry.
Good. And I'm going to have to figure out which one of them is the lie. Okay. So yeah, let's do it. Do you want to tell me your first fact or lie? Truth
the
or lie?
The first one is that I prefer the bottom bunk.
Oh, I love that you were colourful with your language there. Oh, straight into the point. See, I think this raises a really, really interesting question, actually, kind of about stereotypes and the way we make assumptions about people and their preferences in the bedroom, their sexual preferences, etc. So I think you're incredible and you're very out there and you kind of have like a feminine style. And a lot of people, I think, would attribute that to the assumption that you would be a bottom. But I don't think that is the amount of instances where I've met people and it's just been the complete opposite. I've met incredibly masculine guys and then they've been bottoms. I've met incredibly feminine guys and they've been tops. So I don't want to base this on assumptions.
Okay.
The only way that I feel like I can figure this out is, I don't know, I feel like you have quite a wild personality. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like bottoms are often a lot more adventurous in the bedroom. And I just feel like you wouldn't be timid or shy in the bedroom.
Oh, no.
I mean that as a compliment.
No, of course. No, I definitely wouldn't, but...
Interesting. Well, I don't think I can work that one out, so I think I'm going to have to use, like, a process of elimination to figure out if that's a truth or a lie. So,
okay. So
let's hear your next one.
The next one is that I love sushi. It's like best food in the world.
Ooh, I can't get on with sushi. Like, I just find it odd.
Why? A lot of people, that it's very interesting. I get that from a lot of people.
Like,
actually,
if I go for sushi, I don't touch the fish. I touch the like little chickeny bits. Because I'm just not on board with fish, especially when it's raw.
Okay.
And it just doesn't do it for me.
I get you, though. I get you.
Sushi's not very Italian.
I know.
So,
that's why I thought it was interesting, because, you know, I'm Italian, so it's like... Mm.
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling that you were brought up on a lot of pasta and rice salads.
Definitely.
but maybe that's why you love sushi, because it's a little bit different. And I don't know, I guess you can get sushi in Italy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We're living in 2018, Callum. Of course you can get sushi in Italy. Again, I'm not sure. I feel like you look like the kind of person who enjoys a bit of sushi.
Right.
I can see you sat in Yo Sushi in town.
Yes.
That does seem like you. I'm not sure. Okay, what is your third?
The third one is that I hate Taylor Swift.
How? What? Okay. Do you hate her music or do you hate her?
Both.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's unpack this. Tell me why you hate Taylor Swift.
Because I enjoyed it up until it, like, the whole point of her was the music.
Sure.
As soon as an artist just... It's more about the drama around you.
Yes.
That your own music, to me, is like, drop. It's like, I lose interest.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most of her, like, recent stuff as well. Apart from the music, I just didn't like the recent one. I felt like it was kind of like Britney Spears trying to bring back 2018, but
sure,
not really quite there for me, personally. And then the whole personality, the whole drama, the whole constant thing. I just feel like, I don't know, there is people out there struggling even to get like one, like a quarter of what you got, and you there like arguing because like, oh, he said that about me, he tweeted that about me. It's like,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, and I see. I'm just for the record, I actually love Taylor Swift. Got a little bit of a bit of tension here.
Sorry.
In the studio.
Sorry.
And you're so passionate about this that I'm already saying that this is one of the truths. But let's not talk about Taylor Swift for a second. Let's just talk about the music industry in general, because I think often there is this kind of drama that surrounds musical artists, especially when they're huge. But I don't always, I'm not referencing Taylor Swift here specifically, I'm just talking about people in general. I don't think it's always the artist's fault. I think they reach a certain level of fame where people start speculating about them and people start talking about them. And then, you know, a journalist or something will pick up something in an interview and spin it. And then next minute you've got a fight between two celebrities that wasn't like necessarily caused by themselves.
Okay.
And then often like, and the way you're looking at me, I know you think I'm talking about Taylor Swift. I'm not. I just mean in general. And I don't think it's always the artist's
Absolutely.
And I think for you, for instance, being an artist, I think it would be really, really sad because you're so dedicated to your music and you're so passionate about your music. If you were to become like number one world best-selling artist and then all of a sudden you were getting all kind of dragged into all of this drama, it would be a real tremendous shame because it would almost be like you were forced to put your music second. And then bringing this back to Taylor Swift, I think that's kind of a little bit of, you know, whether she's been in the right or the wrong with all the drama and things that's happening, I don't know. But I think there's been a little bit of that. I think she's almost been dragged away from the music being the focus. And the same can be said for a lot of other artists. You know who I think kills it in terms of this? Beyonce.
That's literally what I was about to say to you. It's like, you've seen it a different way. It's like, she still has a little of that because, come on, the elevator, she made a song about it. And she's telling you in the song, like, of course, sometimes she goes down, you know, in that elevator. And it's like, that's an icon. That's how you do that kind of thing to me.
Exactly.
And that's the first fierceness way. Taylor Swift, like putting a version of yourself without a play, doing all of that. It's like, honey. To me, that's saying all of those people made you who you are right now. So actually, don't criticize them, thank them, because I don't know if Kanye West did interrupt you. I don't know if your career would have been thrown off, honey. So sorry, I'm spilling the tea all the way.
I can see you're very passionate about this, but no, I agree with what you're saying about Beyonce, because Beyonce, she doesn't say anything on social media. She just keeps her mouth shut. She makes her music. She puts it out there, and if she wants to make a political statement, she does it on a stage and she does it properly and she drives it home every single time. Beyonce steps out on a stage. And she has a message, the world goes crazy, and she nails it every single time. So I would agree with you that certain people out there, including the lovely Miss Swift, I think, could learn a lot from Beyonce, but maybe it's not a reason to judge them. We can disagree with them.
That's fine. It's okay.
But I'm going to say that is absolutely true.
I mean, you've seen the passion behind it.
Because if you actually were a big Taylor Swift fan, you would be the most incredible liar ever.
Exactly.
So that's absolutely true. So I'm torn between whether you like sushi and whether you prefer the bottom bunk, as you put it. And I'm going to say you don't prefer the bottom bunk, and you actually hate sushi, and that is my final answer.
How do you do that?
Smashed it. Did I get it right?
How do you do that?
Yes!
You did!
So you hate sushi as well?
No, I love sushi. Oh no, what did you say? Wait,
did I get it wrong?
Well, no, you did say that I didn't prefer the bottom and that I liked sushi. Didn't you say that?
Which is the lie?
The lie that I'm a bottom.
Yeah, that's what I said,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, so it's right. Yeah, I think that's what you said.
Did I say that?
I don't know
what I said.
Wah, wah.
I've confused myself. But you're not a bottom.
No.
I'm glad we cleared that up on the radio to all
exactly
of
that. To all the fact I'm single as well, honeys. So,
so how do you? What do you think about this kind of like stereotyping of sexual positions? Because it's kind of bizarre.
I mean,
I get it all the time. I get people messy. Even though I've made videos and I've very publicly talked about the fact that I'm a side, meaning I'm not really into anal sex. And yet, even though I've made videos about this, I've talked about this very publicly, I've talked about it in interviews, I've talked about it on the radio, I still get an awful lot of people out there who message and be like, oh, you're such a bottom, and things like that. And it's like, it's such a strange kind of... And I don't know if it's bottom shaming, because they're not always saying it in a malicious way.
Sometimes
they're saying it because they're attracted to you or whatever, and they want to kind of build up that fantasy.
Exactly.
But yeah, what do you think about the kind of stereotyping? Well, like, where do you think it came from, and do you think it's problematic, and how do you think we almost changed that?
I think we could. It's just because I think it all comes with like silly stereotypes and labels. You see somebody who's really feminine, so like the equation in your head is like, oh, feminine, woman, bottom. It's like this is what happens in your head.
Yeah.
When it's like, I think there's always so much more to that. It's not just your preference, or you need to call it. I find it also, we call it in very different name. Like every 2 years there is a new terminology. I'm like, what? I'm like, now it's like all about like dumb top of power bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what the hell? I asked the guy genuinely, he was like, oh, are you like a dumb top? And I'm like, I think I'm a top, but what do you mean by dumb top? And he's like, oh, you just only do top. Okay, do I really need that definition? Is that so important? I don't know. I find it like very funny. I think as long as like obviously the line is like you're just asking and it's just like funny banter,
yeah,
that's okay. I'm not okay when it could go, it depends on the tone when you say it, but you could go into like a shaming kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or you're just like, you're a bottom, or like, oh, you're feminine, or you're this and you're that. Because I get that, I got that a lot in the past as well.
Yeah.
Like, I get gay people looking at me going like, oh, you're a proper faggot, aren't you? I can't.
Yeah, it's just... it's horrible. And I think sometimes these terms and things, and it can be said in jest. People within our community can often say it as a joke, and they don't mean any harm by it. But sometimes I think they almost cross that line, and it becomes offensive, not just to the person you're saying it to, but to, you know, if you're femme shaming or bottom shaming, you're not just insulting that person. You're insulting a whole wide range of people.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, it's almost hypocritical, because we're so much like, you know, we want to be ourselves and let's represent and let's be diverse.
Exactly.
But just don't be feminine. Like,
exactly. It's like, ah!
I can't.
Like, I don't shame me for being masculine. Like, personally, I don't, like, no tea. Okay, I'm throwing the shade.
Uh-oh, here we go again. Uh-oh.
But, like, I don't particularly find a lot of, like, attractive, a lot of this kind of, like, guys that they all have this perfectly muscly chest and it's all, like, I can pull a head and pull, like, you know, interchange the people. It's the same thing. Mm. It's all about body, and it's all about, like, it's like, no, I think to a person there's so much more than just, you know, just your body. But I don't shame you for that. If that's your choice, you feel good about yourself, you go to the gym because it's your mantra, that's what you want to do, cool. You do your thing, let me do mine. We are a community. Support each other. Whatever you're going to do, obviously, sexually, I'm not going to be attracted to a lot of these muscular people. And it's like, of course, it's good for, like, it's trade. Like, when it's trade, it's like trade of the season. Okay, you love to watch it. But I don't know if I would actually go into a whole thing with them.
Sure.
But it's, yeah, live and let live, really. It's like...
Do you think masculinity has historically been put on a pedestal almost within our community? It's like seen as, if you're masculine, it's the holy grail.
I know, right? It's funny, because that's the thing, like, attaching to this also sort of, like, the trans side of our community as well. I think that it's getting there, but there's so much we could do to have them represented. Like, what happens in America, it's terrible. It's terrifying, all these, like, black trans women getting killed, and nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about it within our community on Twitter. That's why I love Twitter so much, because I think, like, our sort of gay Twitter is, like, we're very powerful.
I love gay Twitter. Love it.
It gives me life every day. Like, I find something that gets me laughing, or it gets me, like, motivated to do more, because you see people being so dedicated to it. But, yeah, I think, like, masculinity in itself is a big deal. And obviously, if you go there questioning it, which is my deal, my big deal is questioning masculinity all the time. Like, what is masculinity? Just because society puts a label on it.
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't define what masculinity is. Like, I love to be masculine and feminine at the same time. Like, I could feel more kind of like, you know, diva realness at times, especially on stage. Like, that's like full fantasy going on.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to be the rudest man in the world, honest. Like, I watch football with my dad drinking beer and burping and, like, you know, sort of like, you know, being very loud at the stadium and all of that. I like to, you know, I like to be diverse and, like, be everything in a spectrum. We don't have to be
in our little boxes.
Or that.
No,
exactly.
Absolutely.
You can be so fluid between the gender. It's so cool.
I love when we see people kind of expressing their gender almost in, whether they identify as non-binary or not, but they almost have a non-binary expression. And you see people, and you might see somebody in a dress and heels, but maybe they're really muscular and maybe they've got a beard. And I love it when you see almost that merging of genders, because I think that's the way of the future. I feel like everyone should be able to express themselves without kind of these labels. And I think talking about bottom shaming, talking about femme shaming, talking about these things within our community, they're actually holding us back, and they're stopping us from progressing into that future that I think we all want.
Exactly.
Should we have some more music on that note? All right, let's have speaking about expressing ourselves, let's have a little bit of Sanctify by Years and Years.
You come to me, 'cause I'm the one who knows who you are. Ooh. Give me your confession, saying lately life's been tearing you apart. Now walk through the fire with you, 'cause I know how it can hurt being cut in two and afraid. So don't break. Pray.
pray. You don't have to be straight with me. I see what's underneath your mask. Like you, I breathe the richness of the dancer's dance. Oh, and there's fire in you, and you know it's gonna hurt being cut into and afraid. So don't break.
Love, love, love that song. How do you feel about dating apps, Andrea?
I'm on them. I guess I had my fair experience with them. The first time I moved here, it was like, oh, God. Like, definitely, like, abused them.
Oh, God.
And then you kind of realize, it's like, oh, you maybe shouldn't, you know, sort of, like, sell yourself so short that easily.
Yeah.
And then now I kind of on them more for a laugh. Like, I love when people contact you because they're very bizarre. Like, people are very bizarre. Especially, I'm talking Grindr, most of all of them. Like,
there's some interesting people.
It's bizarre. It's just bizarre. Bizarre sometimes, like the request that you get is like,
do you know the most interesting request I've ever had on Grindr was somebody, now I can't remember if they wanted me to dress up like a kangaroo or they wanted to dress up like a kangaroo, but they wanted, I think they wanted me to dress up like the kangaroo, and then they were saying that they wanted to like finger my pouch. And or maybe it was the other way around. I don't remember. And
so
I was just
creepy.
Like, this is a very, very specific fetish that you have here. And I almost kind of wanted to talk through it with them and be like, can you tell me more? Like, do you provide the kangaroo outfit? Do I have to source it myself? Like, how does this work?
Oh my God, that's how, like, I love it. Like, people are bizarre.
It's an interesting little world. And I feel like the heterosexuals out there are missing out on our little gay world.
They're all on there. Like, they all
are. Well, that's true.
Oh my God. they're just like, oh, I'm straight, but can we meet?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that too, and I always find that interesting. That I think these people, they're just kind of curious. They want to experiment. You know, I feel like as gay people, often we kind of, particularly in our teenage years, you know, before we come out and things like that, we almost experiment with women.
Right.
Because we're kind of told that's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
So we all kind of have a little bit of, whether it's just dating a girl, kissing a girl, having sex with a girl, it varies for people. I think straight people never have that opportunity. So
I
maybe
know.
They hit adulthood
I
and they're
know.
Like, wait, I've never, maybe I like guys. Maybe I want to have a fiddle. Maybe I just
exactly.
want to. And I think that's where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why you get so many like straight men on Grindr. That's just my take on it.
Yeah,
I
guess
I don't know.
Also like masculinity is being so fluid right now that I also feel a lot of these kind of like old society construction are kind of like falling down.
Yeah.
The amount of like straight friends that like experience or have one little thing with a guy, and I'm just like, oh, honey. It's like, it's okay. That's the thing. I think it's harder to admit
mm-hmm.
on a social level because I guess people kind of feel vulnerable if they admit they're actually, they might be bisexual. And there's nothing wrong. Like, it's all good. But I guess it puts them in a spot where, from the society point of view, they're perceived as weaker than the other man.
Sure. So but again, I feel like we don't need to put people in boxes. You know, you can identify as straight and have a couple of flings with guys if you really want to. That's fine. Enjoy.
Exactly. You're probably going to get your life way much better than a woman. Sorry, man.
Well, we're going to be turning dating apps on their head right now. Okay. So I have a few fake little profiles here, and you're going to have to decide whether you're going to swipe left or right on these people.
Okay.
But instead of it being based on their pictures, you're going to do this based on one thing about them.
Okay.
Okay, so your first one is, your date offers to pay for the meal, but then pulls out a voucher or a coupon to pay. Are you swiping left or are you swiping right?
I don't know. I don't want to be, like, too much of a bitch, but a coupon, no queen mask. Sorry, I can't. A coupon.
You're saying no.
How much more worthy than a bloody coupon, okay? Like,
I've actually done this before.
No way.
Not a coupon, but, like, I had, like, a free meal, and I was like, well, make the most of this. And I took someone out and didn't actually use money to pay for the meal.
Well, it depends in the way that you did it, okay? I can condone it that way. If you just, like, kind of, like, silently went, like, paying the bill, and it was kind of, like, your tea, you did it, and then you came back to the table, and it's like, it's all sorted, kind of classier.
Okay. Yeah.
I can condone it. If it's, like, at the table, it's like, I'm, like...
No, I was full on, like, when we were, like, texting before we went on the date. I was like, I've got a free meal. Should we go and eat the free meal?
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Okay. That's
I was upfront about it.
I was upfront. Okay. Fair enough. Condone. That's different. That's totally different.
You know, we've got bills to pay.
Of course, we all do. But obviously, I'm not saying, like, okay, spend, like, £50 on me. Yeah. But just... Girl, come
yeah, on. You want to feel special. You want to feel like you've been treated.
Yeah, I mean, after a while, then when you get to the whole confidence level, it's like, yeah, use whatever coupon, like, it's fine.
Like, yeah, date four, exactly. Like, whatever you want to do.
First day, your first impression, a coupon. No, ma'am.
All right, your next one is, you meet on a dating app, and before you've even met in real life, they have already added you on Facebook and followed you on Instagram and Twitter.
This is like, I don't know, I'm torn because, like, part of me would be like, oh, it's all in my music, oh, so cute. Part of me is like, oh, is he a fangirl?
Yeah.
You know, when you get this thing, because when you're an artist and stuff, sometimes, like, I went out with people and they were like, oh, I love you so much,
oh,
I love
my
your
gosh,
music.
Really?
And it's like,
too much.
Yes, because it's like, we're here to get to know each other, like, thank you. And obviously, you don't want to be like an absolute dickhead. It's like, oh, stop talking about my music.
Yeah.
Like, but you really wouldn't want that to happen.
It puts a power imbalance in place, which you never want, because you want to be on the same level with somebody.
Yeah,
and if you suddenly feel like they're like a big fan of your work, then I think it creates this imbalance, which makes things awkward and difficult.
Okay, but I'll say swipe right because we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay,
aww.
So we'll get to see him, and if he's a fine girl, then we leave.
Fair.
Fair enough. You know?
I agree as well. I think Facebook is a bit much though, because that's like very private and personal to me.
Right.
But you know, Insta and Twitter, I often do follow people on Instagram, like,
because
I want to go and look at their pictures and have a little
The whole reason for social media is to literally, like, stalking people in a good way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's actually allowed by law. You can stalk people out. That's the reason why you do Facebook, isn't it?
It's a legal way to stalk.
Exactly. Why would you want to be friends with somebody? If you think about it, why would you want to be friend on Facebook with somebody? Because you want to look at their shit.
Yeah,
you
literally.
You want to see where they're going, and you're like, yeah. So you're going to be like...
All right, your next one is, you're on a date at a fancy restaurant, and every 10 minutes, your date goes outside for a smoke break.
Oh.
Ooh.
So I used to smoke. I'm quitting now.
Okay.
But because I smoke, I'll definitely say left, because I had 8-10 minutes. It's like, what? Like,
yeah,
I used
that's
to smoke.
A lot.
Yeah, and it also smells bad.
Mm.
Like, I realize this now. Like, I know how silly it sounds, but, like, I stopped smoking and realized I smell so much better. It's like, I don't have that rotten, like, vibe about you. So, yeah, and in fancy restaurants as well. How bad would that look? But this person keeps on, like, jumping every 10 minutes. And you're, like, left at the table like this, like...
Yeah, I think it would just be a bit much. If they kept leaving the table for any reason every 10 minutes, I'd be like, what is going on here? Like, and I get that you might be a smoker and you're addicted and you need a hit, but can you not wait more than 10 minutes? Jesus Christ.
I'm much more worthy again.
Yeah,
like,
give me some love and attention, please. That's what we're trying to do here.
Right? Like, look at me. I put all this shit on. Like, I put all the glamour on. Like, love it.
So I think I'm saying I usually say yes to everyone because that's, you know, who I am. But I think I'm saying no to this person. Are you saying no to?
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah? No.
Good.
Ever.
Agreed.
Ever.
Though I would date a smoker. Just saying.
No, absolutely. I will. I've been for so long, so like I really cannot be now like there. I don't date smokers. Like, no, obviously I would do.
Yeah, so for any beautiful men who are smokers who are listening, we are both available. All right, your last one is, it's the first date and they keep calling you pet names like Babe and Honey. Left or right?
Oh, I don't know. I actually like that. Like,
yeah,
I do that to people just because I can't remember names. So I'm like, hey, babes.
Well, I do it too. Like, I might say babe or honey to a mate or someone I've just met. But I feel like, I think it depends on the context. If they're saying like, oh, how are you doing, babe? Like, you know, that's just friendly. Or it's, hey, babe, how are you doing? You know, I think there's a big difference between those two things. I think if they were doing it in a very like intimate, loving way and it's the first date, I'd be whoa. Yeah. But if that's just, hey, honey, then I'd be like, oh, this is fine. Hey, honey, how are you doing?
There you go. I think it depends on the tone.
Depends
if
on
it's
the context.
Serious, it's left. If it's like funny and like, because I'm the same, like very just like, you know, flamboyant and stuff, we can say right.
And then it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement. Good. We're going to be joined by a lovely special guest very shortly.
Ooh.
So yeah, they'll be joining us after a little bit more music. So let's have a little bit of Troy Sivan.
Take a trip into my garden. I've got so much to show you. The fountains and the waters are begging just to know you. And it's true, baby. I've been saving this for you, baby. I guess it's something like a funfair. Put gas into the motor, and boy, I'll meet you right there. We'll ride the roller coaster, cause it's true, baby. I've been saving this for you, baby. I need you to tell me right before it goes down. Promise me you'll hold my hand if I get scared now. Might tell you to take a second, baby, slow down. You should know I. Yeah, I bloom just for you. I bloom just for you. Yeah, I bloom just for you. I bloom just for you. Time we're dancing with the trees, and I've waited my whole life. It's true, baby. I've been saving this for you, baby. I need you to tell me right before it goes down. Promise me you'll hold my hand if I get scared now. Might tell you to take a second, baby, slow down. You should know I. Just for you. Come on, baby, play me like a love song.
Sent. Harriet Rose.
I'm very, very excited because Ralph Roll is in the building.
The craziest thing that ever happened to me, I did the Grammys with Lady Gaga. First, I would hear a voice would count, or then you would hear a click. So I'm playing, and everything is fine. All the rehearsals were great. Sound check was great. And I'm playing going, man, I am killing because I can't hear the click. And then I realized there was no click. The click was not there.
And so, if you also stop to think, then everything goes.
On a live show, I would be that drummer that stopped on the Grammys for the rest of my life, you know? I could be sitting in, like, McDonald's and they go, aren't you that drummer who stopped on the Grammys? You know, and I'd run out screaming.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose, from 4 p.m., FUBAR Radio.
We are now joined by another Italian. We're joined by the lovely Adele Tulli. How are you doing, Adele?
Hello, hi. Good, thank you. Ciao.
It's really good to have you. Here in the studio, we have Andrea De Giovanni, who is an incredible artist, and he is also Italian. So it's like Italian Central over here.
Okay.
Hiya, how are you?
You're conquering your studio.
So, Adele, you directed an amazing documentary called Out in Mumbai, and this followed the stories of three people who lived through the decriminalization of homosexuality in India. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that documentary and how you got involved with that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Adele, we're losing you here for a second. Do you want to try again?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You might hear some rain in the background because unfortunately in Rome it's really pouring with rain at the moment. But anyway, the documentary is very dear to me because it's my first film. And I was in India at the time doing some research about LGBT rights and struggles. As homosexuality has been illegal in India since the British occupation, really. And obviously the LGBT community was fighting against this law for a long time. And when I was there, finally, and a bit surprisingly, somehow the Supreme Court finally ruled against this Section 377, which was the law.
Yeah.
Basically criminalizing homosexuality. So it was a very, very special moment for the community. It was a sort of stonewall media. And obviously, it was so, so powerful and so full of energy that we decided to make a film about it. So that's how it started. I was already there and with a lot of friends.
Okay.
The community in Mumbai.
It was an amazing movement. It's obviously like the decriminalization of homosexuality over in India was like, and it's really important that we did document that. Adele, we're really struggling to hear you here. If you're able to move anywhere else where you might get a better signal, that would be absolutely perfect. But I'm really interested in how you, because yeah, go on.
Yeah, because I can hear you very well, so I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I feel like I can hear you a little better now.
Because
obviously you're Italian, and this was based over in Mumbai. So how did you kind of end up in Mumbai, and what was it that really drove you to getting involved in that specifically?
Yeah, I've been traveling to India for a long time because my academic background at the time was Oriental studies. So I was focusing on India in particular. I was researching about feminist struggles and LGBT struggles. So
yeah,
that was my sort of engagement with the topic and with the community. So that's why I was already there in Mumbai when it all happened, and
yeah,
that's why I decided with my friends and the people I knew that this was worth telling it into a film.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're living in London now, right?
Yeah, between Rome and London at the moment, yeah.
So what is your kind of... how it must have been really, really interesting to see the LGBT culture in Italy and in Rome and then seeing it in somewhere like London and then seeing it in India. Like, what was the biggest contrast that you noticed between the kind of cultures in those different countries with different religious backgrounds and completely different almost approaches to sexuality and gender?
Well, I mean... obviously, there are differences, and the differences are many also according to, you know, urban or rural areas or class issues. I mean, there is all sorts of differences. But in general, I can unfortunately say that in Italy, the situation is not as different in a way from what it was in India at the time, because as you know, in Italy we live under this very Catholic regime.
Yes.
And unfortunately, LGBT rights here are also quite, are starting to get heard. And only last year, for the first time, we got the law protecting some civic partnerships in Italy. And it's not even a full marriage equality law. So it's a struggle here in Italy as well. And in general, obviously, it all depends on different places. But the community in India is unbelievably strong. Unfortunately, what happened is that after a few years of the judgment, the Supreme Court of India actually unruled the decision. And so this is unprecedented, but they went back to square one in a way. So the homosexuality is still illegal in India.
Yeah, so
there was this window of a few years in which it was decriminalized, but actually it got back where it was.
Yeah,
so the community is still fighting.
Yeah, I remember seeing. I remember seeing on social media there was so much uproar about when that decision was overturned, and it was such a shame to see such a, monumentous step forwards, only for that to then be undone. And I may have this wrong, but I think that's the first time we've seen that happen, because we've seen obviously the decriminalization in so many countries around the world, and we've seen, same-sex marriage and things like that in America and Ireland and in Australia. Yeah. And I think it's so sad to see a country taking such an enormous step backwards.
Yeah, it was a shock. It was a shock for the community and for most of the public opinion, to be honest, because the judgment at the time was very welcomed in general by the media and by the, public opinion. It was really shocking that the Supreme Court made the decision. And obviously, there is the influence of conservative religious leaders there. And it seems that the future might be bright again, because just last year, this summer actually, there was a new statement from the Supreme Court that was actually really challenging the previous judge making that step back. So it looks like they're going to hear the judgment again, and it looks like it's going to be finally removed. But, until it happens, we never know.
Yeah, and I also understand that it's not kind of just against homosexuality. I may have this wrong, but I believe that any sex that happens has to be between a married heterosexual couple, and it has to be done in missionary position.
Well, that's really important. This is thanks to the colonial past, to be honest, because the phrasing is the same as it was when it was introduced by the British. So it's a sort of a law against the unnatural sex, apparently. And for unnatural, they mean anything that is not penetration between a male and a female. I mean, technically, any other type of sex activity would be illegal, but obviously it's only used towards, it must be an only used towards homosexuality.
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds like a very boring life to me for everyone across India.
Really boring.
So anyone that wants to watch out in Mumbai, they can still do that, right?
They can still do that, yes, because it's going to be really in this Saturday, right? It's supposed to be this Saturday, right?
Yeah, we lost you a little bit there, but yeah. So Saturday the 12th at 11:15, people will be able to watch it. It's on Freeview and Sky Virgin, etc. So yeah, people can tune into that, and they should definitely give that a watch. And I will be too. I'm really interested in seeing the journey of these amazing people. And it's on Together TV.
It's on Together TV on Saturday, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Adele,
I'm happy that it is still circulating, because that the issue is still quite important and it's not resolved. So it's kind of good to still raise awareness about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's become relevant again because of the overturning of everything. So, and now it looks like we're going to be making progress again. So it's a great time for it to be out, and it's a great time to be talking about it. So, I commend you on creating such an incredible documentary, and I can't wait to watch it. Adele,
you've
been incredible, and I'm really sorry that we had a few connection issues, but it's been lovely talking to you anyway. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Same here. Yeah, thanks for having me there. Thank you.
Thank you. See you later. Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Oh, she was lovely, wasn't she?
Yeah.
It was such a shame that I was struggling to hear what she was saying, but she was making such incredible points about so many things and you know how relevant and topical this is right now, because it's not just India, it's so many countries around the world, right. And there are so many countries where the death sentence and things are still in place. So I think it is important that we kind of talk about it, because I think often, us living here in London, we are in our little bubble and we feel very safe and we have rights and we have protections and the law is here to protect us, whereas in other places it's not the case. So it's very important that we kind of stay aware and do keep talking about these things. So if you do want to watch Out in Mumbai, that is playing. It's your last chance to see it on Saturday the 12th. That's this Saturday at 11:15. Do give that a watch. Should we have some more music, Andrea?
Yeah.
All right. This is Miracle.
Ask me no questions, I will tell you no lies. Careful what you wish for. We're looking for angels in the darkest of skies, saying that we want it more. I feel like I'm falling, but I'm trying to fly. Where does all the good go? We're looking for answers in the highest of highs, but will we ever, ever know? And I need you to know, I'm not asking for a miracle, but if love is enough, could you let it show? If you feel it, could you let me know? Ocean of night, but will we ever see it through? And I need you to know, I'm not asking for a miracle, but if love is enough, could you let it show? If you feel it, could you let me know?
Louder than ever.
kaleidoscope. Your presence, it brings patterns to my room. It's true, like looking through a kaleidoscope. Your presence, it brings colors to my room.
I hear that you're a big RuPaul's Drag Race fan. Is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, you and the rest of the community.
Exactly. But Mama retweeted me twice. And
rude.
Genuinely, moments of my life.
Oh my God. I remember there was... I don't even remember what it was about. There was an article saying it was a great article and it was something to do with me, but I don't remember what it was. And Ru tweeted it out and like my face was there on Ru's Twitter and I was like, are we serious?
Goals.
Is this what's happening right now? And I had a little bit of a nervous breakdown about that.
I did that too. Like for 10 minutes, I generally stared at the computer. Was like, no, she didn't. No, and then she like, because it was me singing like a mashup of it, of like, its covers, and then she put Gorge, and then it was like gorgeous.
Oh,
I was like,
wow,
validated. Like, I don't need y'all opinions no more. Like, she said I'm good, so like, I'm ready.
That's incredible.
I know, right?
You've won at life. You're finished.
Yeah.
You're
exactly.
Done.
Exactly. I was like, I don't need any, but like, what industry approval? I've got RuPaul approval. Like, I'm fine.
Well, in celebration of that, and in celebration of your love of Drag Race, we thought this week's porn or not porn theme would be Drag Race.
Yeah!
So I have some sound effects here. I have five lovely sound effects. Some of these are from Drag Race.
Okay.
And some of them are from porn.
Like,
and you're going to have to figure out which are which.
Okay.
And because you're such a hardcore fan, if you don't get 5 out of 5...
We're kicking
you out of the studio.
Let's get in position.
Ru's listening and she's going to be disappointed.
Oh my God.
She's going to be so disappointed in you if you get these wrong. She's not listening. Of course she's not listening. All right. Do you want to hear your first one?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
What are you doing?
Oh.
That's not RuPaul.
Oh.
I literally watch everything.
No, but it's not necessarily RuPaul. It could be any drag queen.
Oh, okay.
From Drag Race.
Oh, okay.
Could be any of them.
Can you play it again?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh my God, now that you said that, it's like, oh.
Just want to put it out there for you and our listeners. I also don't know the answer, so
cool.
I'm also trying to figure this out. It sounds very Drag Race to me.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like... Oh.
Yeah, like I'm seeing them like doing their makeup and being sassy with each other. That's what I'm... Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, because like...
See someone walking into the workroom and being like, what are you doing?
But can I also imagine a porn though? Like, you know, one of these scenes that they create because they're so bad. These kind of these acting scenes where they like walk in and maybe, I don't know, it's like a threesome kind of scene.
Yeah.
And there is like the guy walking in, which is the alleged boyfriend, and they're doing stuff.
It's like, what are you doing? Yeah, that's exactly what I was picturing on the porn side as well. So this could literally go either way. I feel like this might be a red herring. I don't know which way to go. Because it could so easily be either way.
Exactly.
Let's listen again.
What are you doing?
It sounds quite professionally recorded. And there is professional porn out there, but a lot of porn can kind of be a little bit busted.
Right.
So I'm thinking that maybe...
And also the tone is like, what are you doing? Which is like very, like, queeny. Exactly.
I'm saying Drag Race.
Okay, I'll say porn. Let's see who wins. Let's say who wins.
Lovely producer, what is the answer? It is porn. Congratulations, you got it correct. Bratty stepsis just needed cock, apparently. Let's have that one more time.
What are you doing?
No idea what the context of that is.
I know, it could be.
But I feel like we probably had it about right. Like,
yeah,
what was
exactly. What was
there.
Going on, yeah.
So they were working out together. And I guess the other person was doing it wrong, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, your next little clip.
Can we pretend I'm the dog and you're walking me?
Oh, this is Jara Sophia and this is Drag Race, honey. Like, you can't fool me on that.
I'm not even going to wait for the answer. You are absolutely
I can tell
correct.
You the queen. You know, like, I'm that hardcore fan.
I'm very, very impressed. Like, there was no hesitation there. You just went straight in and
she has such, like, no, like that voice of that queen, because you could never really understand what she was saying.
Sure.
She was like, I don't get it, I don't get it. And
that was like, season two?
No, Jara Sophia, I think it's season three.
Okay. Do you want your next one? Yes?
Yeah, go for it.
This
is like really, again, could go either way.
Because that's definitely heels on a wooden floor.
Yeah, but I mean.
That could be either or.
Exactly. I don't know.
Like, again, the sound quality sounds quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, you know, that could be Drag Race.
Yeah, it could be a scene where, you know, whoever is walking in and then is saying a line.
But I'm seeing, because it's quite, because those footsteps are quite hard. I'm not thinking high heels. I'm now thinking like a military boot. And maybe this is like porn, and maybe it's like one of those like military fantasies.
Could very be.
You know? It's very stern. Like, how much can you read into the sound of shoes walking on a floor?
I know, because it still sounds like heels to me, though. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, but I don't, like, it would be so obvious. I feel like, you know, but it's one of those trap ones, you know, like, it's obvious, but then it's there.
I think the sneaky producers are trying to trip us up here. So I'm going to say that this is from porn. And this is not a drag race, a drag queen walking. Because to be honest, when do you actually get a scene in Drag Race? When do you ever really see a drag queen just walking with just the sound of them walking?
No, I know.
Because like when they're coming out to lip sync, like you've got music, you've got everything going. So on that basis,
okay.
I'm saying that this is porn.
I don't know. Because you're saying this is porn. Okay, forget it. Like, this is Drag Race.
Oh, okay.
I'm like...
All right, let's see who's right.
Ah,
porn.
Oh,
knew it. He likes it rough is the name.
So probably was military boots.
Yeah, I think military
probably
boots.
It was military boots.
Do we know if it was military boots? Heels. Oh, it was heels.
I get that right though.
it was a mum walking out of the room. Apparently.
Aww.
I love how little information we're provided, and we really have to use our imaginations to figure out what's going on here.
I love that.
All right, let's do the next one.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, that's Baby Adore Delano. This is Drag Race. This is Adore Delano.
Oh, I'm very...
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. She says that all the time.
Is that definitely Adore Delano?
Yeah, and I probably can even tell you the episodes. This might be
the challenge,
the Scream Queens challenge, when she's like lead. When she's like, the leader, yeah.
They're nodding. That is ridiculous. Not only have you identified that it's Drag Race, you've identified which queen it is and which episode. I'm
a hardcore fan.
The producers are saying literally that scene.
I've watched it about like 3 or 4 times each season.
I'm so, so impressed. Like, you are absolutely smashing this. I feel like if you don't know the answer, then it must be porn.
Exactly. Now I'm getting into that mode. If I don't know the answer, it's definitely porn. Because if it's Drag Race, I just know.
You know it. All right, let's have the final one. Oh, we've caught her out.
Because like it made me go into like a Drag Race scene and a persona, because there is Jinx Monsoon who's got like the narcolepsy thing, so she falls asleep, and there is a few scenes when they get her like kind of like this, but I wasn't too sure at the end of it. Like, the sound ended differently.
Do you want to hear it again?
Let's hear it.
I mean, I have no idea what this could possibly be, but I think it must be Drag Race, because I'm like, how could this be porn? What is happening? If this is porn,
there is like a fucking piggy something, you know?
Yeah, like what on earth is going on? Like, put your porn head on. We're going to listen again and really try and visualize porn and try and figure this out.
Right.
So someone's asleep, and it's very tense. And then who fucking knows what happens at the end? There's like maracas, there's a pig.
And there's also this like jingling music that are typical of Drag Race.
Like, yeah, it's like that suspense, something naughty's about to happen. So I feel like it's Drag Race.
Okay,
and you think it's Jinx, but if it was Drag Race, you think it might have been Jinx?
It might have been, but like again, I'm not too convinced, because I know that well. I know that well, that when she falls asleep and everything, it goes straight away into a confessional. The scene. So that's why, unless they cut it and edit it that way, and I would have been like, major, I commend you on that. But otherwise,
So you're saying porn?
Yeah.
All right, what is the answer, please? It is not porn, and it's Jinx.
It was.
You shouldn't have doubted yourself. It is Jinx Monsoon falling asleep due to narcolepsy in season 5.
And I even pieced the whole.
You shouldn't have doubted yourself.
Right.
You know what? I'm giving you that. Because
you
got the fucking queen.
Exactly.
You knew what was happening. You just hedged your bets.
Exactly.
Never doubt yourself, Andrea.
I know, right? Don't do it.
I'm so proud of you. And you know what? Yeah. I don't know how many points you got there, but I'm giving you 5 out of 5 because I was so impressed by your Drag Race knowledge. I'm giving you some kind of crown.
I'm such a hardcore fan, like, literally. I just love it, and it enabled me to learn and respect drag queens way much more. I didn't know much about drag before. And actually, I was kind of like judgmental, like, I'm open about it, like, I was, because like, I didn't get it. Again, it was like I wasn't comfortable with my femininity as well, so I was like a full person man who takes it to the feminine world. It's like, oh my god. And then, like, watching the show, watching the craft that is behind, that the artists that do the makeup and the gowns and all of that, I was like, I have a lot of respect for those people, actually.
I think Drag Race has been an amazing vehicle for bringing, not just drag, but, you know, questions about gender into the mainstream. And I think, I'll never forget that I was queuing up in a little ice cream shop to buy ice cream. This was about 2 years ago, and it was near my house in London. And there was two women, and they were probably around 50-year-old women, and they were just stood there, and they were having a full-blown conversation about Drag Race.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is amazing, because when would you usually get two 50-year-old straight women stood having a conversation about drag? That would maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like that would never happen.
Absolutely, you're definitely
and
right.
Now it's not gay people love it, and obviously we're the target audience for the show, but everyone's watching it now. Everyone's watching Drag Race. Everyone's talking about Drag Race, and I think that in itself is. I just think it's an incredible thing, and bringing
powerful.
Drag into the mainstream is so important, because it's been such an important part of our culture. But even before it was such a key part of LGBT plus culture, it used to be a part of like working class culture. You know, you would have working class men's clubs, and the drag scene would be an enormous part of that. And so it's played such an integral part of American history, British history, history from all around the world.
Absolutely.
And the fact that we're celebrating that is just amazing. And the fact that it's a reality TV show as well is
come on, exactly. Oh, we love the drama. Come on, we love the shade, and we love all of the confessionals and Untucked. Like, if you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, if you don't watch Untucked, you're getting only half of the story. Like, that's all I'm saying. So you gotta watch Untucked.
So you need to commit and dedicate.
That's where the drama is. Like, I don't know if you've seen it this season.
Well, do you want to know? Do you want to know a secret after I've said all that, Andrea?
Yes.
I stopped watching at season 5. Not because I still think it's an amazing show.
Oh,
come back, please. No, I still think it's an amazing show, and I still support it, and I still think it's absolutely brilliant. I guess I personally lost a little bit of interest in it, but that does not detract from how amazing and incredible I think it is, and all the queens on there I think are amazing, and they're making great statements, and I think it's a great thing. I recently saw there was a lot of I've seen a lot of people kind of going on Twitter and like slagging off Drag Race, and I don't understand what those people are trying to achieve. I think it's almost going back to this femme shaming we were talking about earlier, and people almost trying to say that they're better than other people within the community by saying, oh, I don't watch that show, I'm not feminine, I'm not into all of that. And I think that's a real shame. I don't I think it's really important that it is an amazing thing, and I think we should celebrate it, even if you don't personally like it.
I know a lot of like gay friends that would not be particularly interested into that. It's like, obviously I love it, it's like I love drama, I love makeup, I love all of that, so I found a personal interest. And I gotta say, definitely drag has also changed from like those season 5 to season 10. It was more like ready to wear, and it was more about like being funny, not so polished. Like now you see some of those queens coming out in certain garments that it's like, you must have paid money for that, because it's like, you know what I mean? And so the concept is completely different. It's more couture based, and again, it's a TV show, and everything that comes with a TV show, like I've done it, so I know what the dynamics are, the confessionals, and we get to see, I guess, 10% of what the reality really is.
Of course.
You go and follow those queens and you see what they say online and everything. There was so much uproar recently for the Vixen, because she brought the black race issue in one of those Untagged. Yeah. And also she's been targeted, like, wildly by bots. Like, she's been saying, people are saying that she should, you know, go away, or she should kill herself. And because, it's just because she's, like, very outspoken. But that's the TV show part. Like, those are human beings.
And and that's the important thing when watching Drag Race or watching any reality TV show, is that you've got to understand that these people go into it and they interact with each other, and then the producers shape and script it, and then they edit it in a certain way that if they want to make any single person look like a monster, they can do that. They have the power to do that.
You're
that is the magic
that.
Of production and the magic of editing. So, you know, if you do see a person portrayed in a certain way on a TV show, a reality TV show, it's not necessarily the truth. There's always going to be a little bit of the truth at least missing there. So I think it's important that you look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, because to me, when I started, it was just like, no, like, I am the same. Like, if a full room of people started to have digs on me, obviously my first reaction, you have two reactions. You either cry, so you're that kind of person who cries and is like a very upsetting cries.
Yeah.
Or you just go on, like, you go crazy and you start attacking everybody because it's your form of defense.
Yeah.
So she's not being a hateful black woman who's being stereotypically very loud and very annoying, targeting people and being very rude. No, she's not. She's a person that is hurt, is in a difficult
defending
moment.
Herself. Yeah.
And everybody is digging at them and they're just trying to, you know, fight back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, on that note, should we have a little bit more music?
Yeah.
All right, this is a little bit of Kylie Minogue, Slow.
Knew you'd be here tonight, so I put my best dress on, boy, I was so right. Our eyes connected, now nothing's how it used to be, don't second guess it. Tracking all this feeling, pull focus close up, you and me, nobody's leaving. Affected, spun me 180 degrees, it's so electric. Slow down and dance with me, yeah, slow. Skip a beat and move in my body, yeah, slow. Come on and dance with me, yeah. You know what I'm saying, and I haven't said a thing. Keep the record playing. Slow down and dance with me, yeah, slow. Skip a beat and move in my body, yeah, slow. Come on and dance with me. Yeah.
All right, we are going to do sex confessions. Thank you so much to everyone who has emailed in their sex confessions. This is all completely anonymous, and I think we're just going to dive right in. Oh, we've got loads here. I'll read the first one, and then I'll let you have a go. All right, so the first one we have had. I went on one date with a dude, and he asked me, mid-date, if I would be willing to wear a diaper for multiple days, soil the diaper, and then let him fuck me when he changed it for me. I asked him if he was into other kinds of sex. He told me literally anything, but his kink was too vanilla. I'm all for kinks like live your life, boy, but on a first date, question mark? Coming on a little strong, I respectfully, and they've emphasized respectfully, declined and haven't heard from him since. I think that's really interesting. And I think when it comes to kinks and things like that, I almost think that when you're dating, if you have a specific fetish or you have a specific kink, that it's really important to not let that kind of dominate your entire dating life. Yeah. Like I have certain kinks and certain fetishes that I'm into myself, and I've dated guys who have not remotely been into them, but that's not changed the dating dynamic for me. I think, you know, I think if I was dating a guy and he didn't want to have any kind of sexual interaction, I think then I would be like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Like, I need to have sex. But I think for me personally, I could say, okay, I can't do this one specific sexual act with you, but I can do lots of other things. But then maybe if you're so into something, if you're so into your fetish and like all you want is to do that with somebody and you're out there looking for that special guy you can do this one thing with, and then they don't want to do it with you, I feel like this guy was a little bit harsh on you by saying that he didn't want to see you.
Yeah.
Because I think also this person was really respectful in the fact that they were like, hey, it's cool that you're into that thing.
But
you know, this, you know, having a scat fetish of any kind, you know, being into dirty diapers and all that thing, I think there's a lot of stigma and shame about that. And the fact that this person was willing to talk about that, and then this other person didn't write that guy off, didn't say, into this fetish, I'm going to, you know, abandon you. They were like, oh, okay, that's cool that you have that, but I'm respectfully not interested.
Man.
I just think it's a shame that the other person was then like, oh, well, no, I'm not going to contact you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore because you don't want to play out this fantasy with me.
But that's almost the problem that I have. Like, when people are too, you know, too keen on kinks straight away.
Yeah.
Because to me, like, of course, everybody's got their own. I don't have many, really. So, for example, I would be put, like, if somebody told me that, I would literally probably, like, run off.
Yeah.
I would be scared. Yeah. Like, I generally would be scared because I was like, what? Like, it's so far off.
Sure.
My thing that actually somebody like me, I would be put off.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's okay to be open about it, and I respect that. But like, let, you know, maybe second, third date is like when you get to know the other person a little bit more. Because I don't know, it's such an intimate thing.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's so intimate that it could put you on the spot if you're on like on the other side of the table, that you're kind of like,
absolutely,
oh crap, like, I don't know what to say, really, and I feel uncomfortable, I want to leave, I'm like, ugh.
And I do think a lot of these kind of kinks and things, they can be quite intense, and people might not, even if they're into it, they might not want to do that on a first date, whether you're talking like BDSM or like being tied up or being harmed consensually, obviously, or humiliated, or, you know, scat or water sports or any of these things. I think it's quite a big, unless you're both fully on board with it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, we're gonna do this first date, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Like, I think it is a lot to ask of a person on a first date, and I just think it's a real shame that, you know, these two people, I've assumed these are two men, they might not be, so yeah, apologies if that's not actually the case, but these two people, they could have fallen in love and they could have had a happy relationship. And the guy who initially said, no, you know what, I don't want to do the diaper thing, 6 months down the line,
exactly,
if he'd fallen in love with him, he might have been like, you know what, you want to do this, let's give it a go. And then they might have both ended up loving doing that, and they could have had a happy
exactly,
ever after.
Exactly.
But I do think it's a shame that you would just, like, throw it away.
Yeah, but I get the scared. Like, I don't know. I get the scared. And it, probably the other guy felt also, like, he might got home and got into his head, a guy or girl, whatever he is, and, you know, they might thought, oh, I might actually push the envelope too far.
Yes.
And they start, because I can understand from the other side of the thing, like, whatever this person is, might start to get, like, very self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
And I may be sort of, like, being hard on himself. So better, you know, better to cut, you know, cut the communication and move on. We find somebody else's who might gonna like that. Because I guess there's two, you know, two sides.
Yeah, no, and that's a really good point. And I think on that note, I think it's really important that if you are talking to anyone on a dating app, in a club, a bar, wherever you are, if you are starting to flirt with somebody and they do bring up a fetish that is particularly out there, I think it's really important that you handle that really sensitively.
Yeah.
Because somebody I know, even myself, if I go to a guy and I say, hey, I've got this fetish, and if they were to be like, ooh, that's weird, or oh, that's gross, that's disgusting, like, that would be really harmful.
Shameful, yeah.
And it would also, it would mean I'd be less likely to open up about that to the next guy I'm talking
right.
to. So if somebody comes to you with, you know, the most out there fetish you can think of, just be sensitive about it and
yeah,
just be 10 like, oh,
seconds.
Just,
10 seconds.
Just always say, oh, that's cool that you're into that. Just say that and then
yeah,
be like, but it's not for me, sorry. That's all you need to say. Like, no shame.
Yeah, most of the time I just say like, okay. Like, that's your thing. Respect you.
Yeah.
Not mine. But you know what I mean?
Exactly. So yeah, I think we I'm to the person who sent this in, I'm just sorry it didn't work out. That is my reply to you.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you want to read the next one?
Yeah.
I think this one is definitely for you.
Oh yeah, honey. I love Drag Race 2. Do you guys have any ideas of how can I get into drag? I might give it a go.
Ooh.
So, oh my god, love it. First of all, we are two. Let's go together because I want to do drag as well. So, honey, whoever you are, contact me and let's go do drag together. I guess the best thing, like watching other queens' advices and stuff, is do it in your own room.
Yeah.
If you leave with your parents later on at night when they're like all sleeping in the room, you know, they can caught you, just like lock yourself into your room and get some makeup and start to have paint your face, have ideas up until you get comfortable with it, and then slightly start to take it out.
Yeah.
Also latch on to other drag queens
yes.
that you could know, because for example, like, I know a few of them here in London. One is Michael Twaite, that actually does an incredible, like, the Art of Drag seminary, so she actually helped creating new drag names in the scene.
Amazing.
There is Vanity Von Glow, who she sings as well. She's
yeah.
amazing singer as well. So yes, yeah, so I guess, like, reach out to your community, do it in your room until you're comfortable, and then go out and slay.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with that. And again, I want to emphasize what Andrea was saying about the drag scenes, not just here in London, but around the world. I think there are amazing little communities
yeah.
of drag queens who are really, really supportive. I think the wrong idea people can get about drag queens sometimes is that they're all catty and bitchy
right.
and things like this, because
yeah.
it's part of drag humor. It's part of, you know, if you go and see a drag performance, a lot of the time you're going to see them making like witty jokes and things like that, and sometimes those jokes can seem a little bit mean-spirited, but it's all done in the
place of love.
It's done from a place of love, and actually drag queens aren't mean and bitchy and well, I'm sure some are, but like, for the most part, all the drag queens I've ever met have been the loveliest, most welcoming and accepting people. And I've gone out into gay scenes all around the world completely by myself, and the first thing I do when arriving at a new gay club by myself is I'll go and talk to a drag queen.
There
and they're always like, oh, let me introduce you to my friends, let
exactly.
you do this. So, you know, so whatever city you're in, reach out to your drag community, and I'm
absolutely.
Sure they would be more than happy to take you under the wing or even just give you a bit of advice. Or
they love that. They love, because, you know, at the end of the day, if you revert the coin, it's those drag queens wearing exactly you
the same
right
as you
now,
and they know that, so they want to help you. And if you are, if you do happen to be in London, Her Upstairs is an amazing drag club
you.
In Camden. They're incredibly supportive of new talent. They regularly do competitions for new talent.
Yeah.
A lot of London drag queens, or not even London, people travel to come and
yeah.
perform there. A lot of people do their debut, so they perform for the first time
yeah.
at that drag club, and there's a whole audience of people sat there who are just willing to accept that it's a person's first
yeah.
performance, and not be judgmental and be supportive. So really reach out to your community, and I'm sure that people can help you. And if not, Andrea wants to do drag with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. So like, reach out to me, honey.
Hit
let's
up.
Do this.
You can do each other's makeup. You'll have a great time.
Yeah.
Not even a sex confession, but I love that question.
Exactly. I love that too.
Favorite question.
Exactly.
All right, next one. Me and my friends went camping this bank holiday weekend. We all ended up getting drunk and sleeping in different tents. I was one of the only ones who didn't have sex that night, yet I woke up with a used condom in my hair. Gross, they said. That, how? How? You, wait, so everyone's in different tents. Everyone's having sex, and you wake up with a used condom in your... So somebody's had sex, taken off the condom, came to your tent, unzipped it, and flung it
exactly.
at you. Oh, I mean, I feel for you.
Exactly. Like, I feel so bad. There's somebody who is making, like, not a funny joke. I would go mad.
Yeah, well, you already feel left out because everyone's getting
exactly.
their end away.
And
you're there not.
Plus the double humiliation. That's not nice.
That's not nice. Your friends are mean people. I mean, I can kind of see the funny side as well. I mean, it's a little bit mean, but it's low-key
funny.
It's
very mean, but, like, from the other side, I can see how funny it is.
The fact that this person has sent this in, I'm really hoping that they see the funny side of this and they thought it was funny as well. I think it depends on who you are as a person, and I think your friends tend to know you. I actually think if I went camping with a load of my mates,
they would
that's the kind of thing that they would do to me, and I would find it really funny. I'd be like a little bit like angry, but not really angry.
Cool.
I'd be like, oh, you fucking dickheads.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't genuinely be pissed off. So
oh, I'd be. I'm like, there's one thing, because I think he did say in my hair is like... Uh-uh.
Your sacred place.
It's like limited soda. So if it was anywhere else in my body, probably I would still be so grossed out. Like, so grossed out. I'd probably wash myself 3 times. But, like, besides that, like, hair, no. No, honey, no, I can't.
And I just
unless I'm drunk, I guess. If I'm drunk, it's okay.
I just want to say, and just from a sexual health perspective, just be careful with you use a condom for a reason. So if don't be throwing used condoms around each other, like if there's semen in that, or just that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I just have to be conscientious. I have to be the gay dad here and make sure you all behave yourself. So just be safe, kids. You use a condom for a reason. They're not toys.
Oh.
I know, fun police over here. Do you want to read the next one, Andrea?
Yeah. This year, I will, with emphasis on I will, take someone home after Pride. I've never been less shy in my life. Now it's my time.
Pride
romance,
so,
honey. Yes.
You be proud. You go to Pride. You get. You enjoy yourself. You have a.
Get them all boys.
I love that. I love that. I'm going to go out and do this. I'm going to... It's my time. I'm going to seize this. I'm going to...
Yeah.
And you will. I have full faith that you will. I know that you're going to have an amazing time at Pride. And I just... I love Pride.
Oh.
I've been to so many Prides all over the world. And I have, honestly, the best... If I were to list the, like, top 10 okay. moments of my life, I genuinely feel like at least 5 of them would be at Prides. And I just... It's such an accepting atmosphere. And... You know, not everyone goes to Pride for sex. It's not just about sex.
Oh,
it's
no.
about community. It's about Pride. It's about making political statements.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people
but
do
then,
go,
but
and
then,
they're
but
like...
But then the nice pleasure at the end. I mean, why not?
Exactly. It's about celebrating everything about our culture and, you know, sexuality. I mean, the clue's in the word. Sexuality is often about sex. And I think there's no better way to show how proud you are to be... gay or bi or pan or queer than
absolutely
enjoying
right.
yourselves
exactly.
and having a little
I
bit
mean,
of fun.
I mean, go out. My advice, though, would be, because you seem like very, very like, yeah, like, that's my thing. I'm going to do it. If it's not going to happen, like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, remember that it's always like a good day. That it's Pride that you're going out there. But trust me, like, get some alcohol in and, you know, you'll find somebody.
So you will find somebody. If it doesn't happen, I'm sure you'll still have an amazing time and you'll still make amazing memories, but I'm sure it will.
Yeah,
happen.
Come on.
Sure it will.
We believe in you.
You've got this. We're both supporting you. You'll see Andrea on the stage and he'll be singing for you.
Exactly.
He'll be singing
and
for you
like,
specifically.
Booty pop to my song.
All right, next one. I'm a cis girl who has always wanted to try pegging. I met a guy on Tinder that was down for it. When we met up, he changed his mind, which is totally okay, but we had a fairly awkward time. The next week, I ran into him in the supermarket. So awkward. I didn't want him to feel bad for changing his mind, but I was super disappointed.
Wow.
So just for anyone listening, pegging is where a girl, or any person, I guess, puts on a dildo and has... anal sex with a man, and the man is the receptive partner. So it's obviously, I know for a lot of straight guys out there, or, you know, maybe not straight guys, but just, you know, people who aren't typically into anal, that it is quite a big thing to be like, okay, I'm going to literally open myself up to you and let you do this. So I kind of understand him like being like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then him being like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, like, oh.
and then running into him in the supermarket. That can't have been a pleasant experience for either of you. Like, oh, there's that guy who was going to let me fuck him in the ass, but now, then he changed his mind, and now here we are buying, cucumbers. So, I kind of feel for both of you in that situation. Yeah. I like that they handled it like adults, though.
Yeah. No,
they're like, absolutely. Hey, do you want to try this? Yeah, cool. No, I've actually changed my mind. Oh, that's a shame. I'm really disappointed. But
that's, I think, there you go. Lesson learned today. When you want to try new things, best advice, do it with somebody you know.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, it's that situation where you, behind the phone, we were like, yes, yes, let's do it. Like, then you get into the situation and it's like, this is about to happen and I don't like it.
I feel sometimes we can get a bit carried away if we're horny. I know there's been many times I've been like talking to people on dating apps and I've been particularly horny and I'll be like, yeah, do that. I'm going to meet you and you can do this and I'm going to do this to you and then you're going to do this to me. And then suddenly you're not so horny and you're like, oh God, what have I agreed to? I've agreed to let this woman peg
Amen.
Me. Why did I agree to this? I'm not on board with this at all. So,
I get you 100%.
So I'm sorry that it didn't work out between the two of you, but I'm hoping you find somebody to peg very soon.
Yeah, I mean,
fingers crossed for you. Down to our last one, Andrea.
Okay.
Would you like to read this one? Okay, this is all for you.
I'm really insecure about acne scars on my back, and it is stopping me from having sex. I have been on a few dates with a guy recently and would like to take it to the next stage. But I'm just so embarrassed and freak out that as soon as he sees me naked, he will change his mind and not fancy me anymore.
Oh, babes.
Look, I have the same thing. I have, it's not acne, but I have vitiligo. So throughout all of my life, I fought against this thing of feeling like not worthy or feeling like people wouldn't like it or would have judged me, because I've been called out many times. Oh, you're like a cow. Mm. Oh, you got natural sort of like eyeliner, like white stuff on top of your head. And I felt so ashamed about myself, like to the point that it would be 40 degrees and I would cover myself up because like I felt so insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can say to you is that embrace those acne scars. Like, it's just who you are, and there's nothing wrong with that. And if somebody has something wrong with it, then they can leave the door.
Yeah, like, absolutely. You do
right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm 100%. You're like whoever you are, like a boy or a girl. Like, you're lovely. You look amazing. And don't let those scars be something negative, but actually use it as a positive input. Like, those scars is what makes you different from a hell lot of boring people.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Be proud of them.
And I want to add to that as well. You know, I have a lot of stretch marks on my back and on my thighs, and I was really insecure about those for a long time. I thought they were really unsightly, and I felt exactly the same. I thought people are going to see these and they're going to think, ooh, gross, I don't want to be with him anymore. Firstly, nobody ever reacted that way. Nobody ever, ever saw those stretch marks and went, oh, I don't want to be with you. That never, ever happened. And secondly, and I promise you that I am not just saying this because you've written in with this confession, but I actually find, and I promise that this is 100% real, I actually find acne scars really, really attractive. And all my friends know that if there's a guy with acne scars, I literally...
First in the line.
I like, my head pops up like a little meerkat. And I don't know, I find them really hot. I think they're really pretty. So, you know, something that you feel insecure about may not... To somebody else, they may think it's even hotter. And
exactly.
I know that I've been with loads of guys and... All kinds of different body shapes and all kinds of different things on their body. People with birthmarks and people with acne scars, people with stretch marks, people with all kinds of different things. And I've always been attracted to them for them. And if anything, those little things about them actually make me more attracted to them. And I actually really enjoy those things about people because it makes them unique and it makes everyone's beautiful in their own way. So. I know us saying this won't just like cure your insecurities around this, but I really don't want you to feel insecure, and I want you to try and really embrace those things about yourself. But just on the flip side of that, I do have a friend also who's really insecure. He has an amazing body, but he's really insecure about being naked around people.
Okay.
And he always makes sure he brings people home back to his place. And he has control over the lighting. He always does dim lighting. And he does it in his own room because he has control. He can control how much of them that the other person can see.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't think you should have to do that because I think you should be able to celebrate your body. But that might be a nice stepping stone into it.
Yeah.
You know, dim lighting and things. And then when you start to feel more confident, then you can be like, full daylight, yes. Here I am. Look at me for all I am. Look at my acne scars. I'm beautiful as I am. And as Andrea said at the beginning, if you don't accept me for who I am, then the door is over there. Out you go. And I think that's a wonderful place to end the show, Andrea.
Yeah.
You have been an absolutely amazing guest. Thank you so much for coming on. If people want to follow you, listen to your music, how can they find you?
So first of all, thank you for having me. It's been lovely 2 hours. And you find me pretty much everywhere. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram is Andrea Di Giovanni, and you can find me on Spotify as well. I'm Andrea Di Giovanni, and you can listen to my new song, The Wrong Way. And just brace yourself, because a bunch of new music is coming your way very soon.
I'm very excited. I cannot wait to hear. And of course, I cannot wait to see you perform at Pride this year.
Oh yeah, 7th of July.
Yeah, and 7th of July, anyone listening, please do head over to the main stage and give Andrea tons of support and support him online. And yeah, it's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
I'm going to play you out with a little bit of your favorite, RuPaul.
Yeah. Yes.
Guess who back in the house? Heels click clack in a bow. Fine, fresh, feminine style to 11. I'm divine, so heavenly. Gentlemen, sweat, nips, downs, across the board, no doubt. Body like wow. It's automatic, supersonic, I'm a sassatron. And I ain't looking up to anyone, the cam's alone. And I'm ready to shake the jelly when the jelly's on. The kind of thing that all the fellas make advances on. I'm only getting out of bed for 20 million. Now get your camera phone, cause in a minute I'm about to be on. Here come that girl, uh-oh, shit, what up? Yeah, that's well, that's the bread I'm clutch across, she's a big shot caller.
Get run over, over.
None of these bitches is cunty like you. Clocking me chickens, I'm fucking they blue. Running my business is all coming through. Where I step in, you know where, what it do. Y'all know where I wanna do. None of these bitches is fucking with me. None of my businesses don't even witness. When I step in, they know where I wanna do. When I step in, they know where I wanna do. Yeah, bitch, she done already done had her. She been done had hers.
Click, click.